We good to go?
Yeah, good to go.
We're good to go.
All right. You guys can see my screen then?
Yes.
All right. Thanks for having us here tonight. You know, we're just going to briefly go over the results from your guys' fiscal year 2021 audit. My name is Josh Faber. I'm a senior manager with Whipplee. Along with me, I have Hope Friday, who's a manager with Whipplee. I think you guys, you know, I'm going to go through this presentation. It's just a few slides, you know, just kind of going over the highlights. I think you guys should have, you know, copies of things in front of you. So if you guys have any questions along the way, you know, feel free to ask and happy to answer anything as we go through. So first thing I'm going to go over is, as part of the county's audit, there's several different audit reports that we issue. You know, main responsibility of auditors to issue audit opinions on these different things. The first one is the independent audit report. This is the main audit opinion on the county financial statements. For fiscal year 21, we issued a clean, unmodified opinion, exactly what you guys want, clean passing grade. The second opinion that we issue is on internal control over compliance and internal control over financial reporting and in compliance with government auditing standards. We had a clean, unmodified opinion on this as well. We did have one finding that we noted on internal control regarding segregation of duties, just not enough people in offices where things are not touching enough hands on that end of things. Again, clean, unmodified opinion on that. The third one is a report on compliance and alternative compliance examination on your state and local fiscal recovery funds. We had a clean, unmodified opinion on that. And then the last one is, we have to do a separate audit for the circuit clerk's department. Clean, unmodified opinion, just two findings regarding internal controls, one for segregation of duties, and then one regarding trial balance reconciliation. So again, all of our clean, unmodified opinions, all clean passing grades, just a couple of findings relating to segregation of duties. Any question on those so far?
Yeah, so this is Brock Wagner. So one of the things is that when I go to section one, the audit findings in relation to financial statements 2021-01, is that almost, that reads like the previous several audit reports where we've had issues with the segregation of duties and issues with having, without having, you know, the previous auditors had said that we were not reviewing financial statements. So can you delve into that more, why you found that that was an unclean, unmodified opinion on basic financial statements? Because one of the things that I've had as an issue since coming onto this board a year and a half ago is that I do not have the ability to easily review what our account balances are, and that we're not being presented with them as a board each month according to the state statute that each office holder is supposed to have. So I guess that's my question, why I wonder how you're able to come up with a clean, unmodified opinion for financial statements when we as a board do not see those. And it took since before July last year to have to go through and redo the books to get them in place so that they could then begin the audit just recently. And that was a several month process, and we had to bring in an outside firm.
So I can try to answer that to the best of my ability. So as far as the audit concerned, the clean, unmodified opinion comes from down to the actual audit work that we performed. The actual audit numbers in the report are good. As far as the reports that you guys are given, you know, on a monthly basis at your monthly board meetings, I can't comment on that. I'm not sure what you guys see with that and things. So what that kind of stemmed from, kind of to your point, is, you know, when we first started engaging in the audit, you know, a year ago, 2 years ago, when we first kind of started doing the 21 audit, you know, when we first got the trial balances, there were issues that had happened with the accounting software conversion, where there were things that were not reconciling. There were issues, you know, between, you know, what was on the GL balances for your cash accounts versus what was in the bank. You know, one of the things that we kind of had to go through the process was making sure that your numbers were correct. And that's why, you know, the audit process kind of drug out this long, right? Because, you know, one of the things that basically they had to go back to do is re-reconcile those bank accounts. What are the true numbers that need to be in the audit? And then making sure that our audit numbers match, you know, those true reconciled balances. So as far as the audit numbers are concerned, there's no issues with the numbers that are reported. That's why it's a clean, unmodified opinion. But there are the findings for the segregation of duties because some of those controls were not in place. If that answers your question at all, it's more of the unmodified opinion comes down to the numbers are clean in the audit, but there are the findings related to the segregation of duties.
Okay. So I guess that goes back into my next question, is with segregation of duties, is is it sounds like we, you know, the segregation duties is something we found, you know, this is a fifth year that I've looked at an audit finding that has basically had something to that effect. What are we not doing as for segregation of duties? And I want you to be brutally honest with us, because I have had that same issue with since coming on as a board member.
Yep, and I'm going to pull it up real quick so I can tell you exactly what your segregation of duties are. So as part of the, you know, the audit process, we do risk assessment, we do internal control walkthroughs for different offices that we would consider to be, you know, key controls for each office, right? So, you know, something that might happen in the sheriff's office might not be what we would consider a key control because it doesn't impact the entire county as a whole. So the two ones that we had are related to cash and related to payroll, and they were specifically, and I'm going to pull it up so I can tell you exactly where they were, so I can tell you without coming off the top of my head. So the first one is just the bank accounts being reconciled. That was the first deficiency, just that one person's, you know, preparing the bank reconciliations, but there's no formal documentation of review. You know, I think that led to some of the issues that you're talking about, where, you know, you guys weren't entirely sure that the, you know, what the numbers were, and, you know, making sure that those numbers are, you know, clean. We kind of ran into the issue we did. I think having somebody independent of the person who's preparing the bank reconciliations reviewing them is a good step in the right direction. That's obviously going to get rid of that deficiency in internal control. Also, the circuit clerk has specific deficiencies. One person in their office has the full custody of collecting cash, taking cash at the bank, access to the general ledger. So, I mean, there's different things within that office, specifically for cash. And then this circuit clerk office also has a deficiency for the bank reconciliations. And then as internal controls for payroll is concerned, I'm pulling it up real quick. Just that time. So we have basically one person has the access to the entire payroll process. So one person can access payroll. One person can make changes to the payroll system. Just making sure that there's an independent review of each individual payroll through as their checks are being issued and the ACH is being done. So those are the three main deficiencies that we have identified.
So what are other counties doing to overcome those deficiencies?
In all honesty, not really anything. I mean, this is, and I say that lightly because it's very, very common, especially across counties that are your size, to have deficiencies like this. You know, one of the things, you know, we're going to be working towards, you know, obviously we're going to be starting the 2022 audit here soon, is are there ways that you guys can overcome these deficiencies? You know, the bank reconciliation deficiency is something that can be super easy to be overcome. You know, one person prepares, you know, somebody can review those bank reconciliations. Do they match the system? Do they match the bank? You know, somebody just initials saying, you know, they looked at it, you know, that'll get rid of that deficiency. The circuit clerk office, you know, very similar. Is there one person who can review those things to make sure, you know, just that one extra layer of control? A lot of times, you know, depending on the number of people, it's hard, but there's definitely ways that you can overcome those deficiencies, especially when it comes to that bank reconciliation process. So, you know, I think that's something that we can talk with you guys with, you know, what do you guys need to be doing? You know, we're here to help and, you know, provide any guidance we can along for those processes.
So there are ways to fix it. It's just, it's a laziness factor of many counties our size to not to fix it. Is that what I'm hearing correctly?
I wouldn't necessarily say it's the laziness factor. I think it's more of the education and awareness of how you can, of what ways you can improve the systems. You know, we're happy to help you guys kind of say, you know, this is the stuff that you guys could do to overcome this control and that kind of thing. So I think it's just the awareness and the education of, you know, the next person that kind of needs to look at things.
Thanks, Josh. Can you go ahead and head on to the rest of your slides?
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, you know, our contact information is at the beginning of the presentation. So if you have any follow-up questions, you know, feel free to reach out to us directly. We're happy to answer any questions you have. One thing to note, GASB Statement 84 was implemented for this year. Basically, there was a GASB change for some fiduciary activities. That's going to be pretty impactful to the audit report as we kind of go through showing some of the differences last year. So that was a major change for 21. The county expended almost $1 million in federal funding during FY21. You guys spent about $249,000 of ARPA funds during fiscal year 21. Because you guys were over the $750,000 threshold, but because the ARPA funds are what threw you over, we were able to do that alternative compliance examination instead of the full single audit. Really what it is just additional testing specifically on those ARPA funds. So that was tested for fiscal year 21. One other thing that you'll kind of notice is that there was a major change in your net pension asset. Net pension assets increased in your regular and SLEP plan, and then the ECHO plan, the net pension liability decreased. A lot of that is due to market changes. 2021 was a good investment year. 2022 was not such a good investment year. Really, it's just more information, that swings kind of along with the market rates and how the market's doing. Nothing really to be concerned about. Just, you know, if you were looking at the footnotes in the financial statements and you saw how that net pension asset and liability swings, it's really just due to those market changes. One other thing we'd just like to share is that all cash and deposits were property collateralized at the end of the year.
Quick question on ARPA funds.
Yep.
Was most of the ARPA funds that you tested, were those for Ameresco?
Yes, I believe so.
So I have a question on that is, do you have many counties or many governments that have a contract with a project management organization that doesn't require them to deliver back a return, an itemized list of what they did as part of the funds getting paid?
So can you repeat what you said? I think I cut you, part of the words were cut out.
So one of the things that has come up in ARPA funds being spent with Ameresco was that we were told that we could not get, that we signed an agreement with them that we were going to have a non-itemized billing given to us, and that the billing from the Ameresco funds did not require them to give us that itemized billing as had been requested by several things. Now, granted, this happened since then, but do you know of other counties that have that kind of an agreement with a project management organization?
I would say typically, you know, any time we get, I'm pulling up that testing too. So for the ARPA, so for FY21, the ARPA funds that we tested were largely due to the COVID hazard pay. So we didn't look at anything at Ameresco related for FY21 that might have been expenditures that you guys made in FY22. But as far as your comment regarding, you know, detail itemized, you know, invoices and things like that, every single invoice should be, you know, itemized to an extent, showing the specific things that you're paying for.
I appreciate that answer, because that's something that we were told we signed an agreement that we did not require that, or we were not guaranteed, we were not going to be given that by Ameresco.
Yeah, and is what is it? Can you repeat again what Ameresco is doing for specifically?
I need to intercept. We need to discuss this because that's not true. Because he would have done it.
No, so, in this meeting, in this very room, I asked for a detailed list of what occurred for what we were getting paid, and Mr. Engel told us that Ameresco, that when we signed the agreement with Ameresco, we did not have to have that.
Okay, well, we could have gotten it.
And I can pull up the video if I need to.
Okay, right now we're talking about the audit. And that's what we're going to talk about.
It's about auditing our funds and how our internal controls are that we're not doing. That's what an audit does. And when I see, you know, we're on year five.
Okay, he's got the floor. He's got the floor. Let's go. Go on ahead, Josh.
Okay, just kind of going over some changes from last year to this year, you know, the change in the general fund. There's a few, you know, things just to kind of highlight from last year. You know, obviously there's some big change, some decent changes in intergovernmental revenues and charges for services. A lot of that is due to a decrease in prisoner income from last year, or from 2020, I should say, a decrease in those funds. The other thing is for judiciary and courts, those expenses going up, that's really due to that GASB 84 implications. Nothing really from an actual expense category, it's more of how the fundings were changed. Overall, net change in fund balance was an increase of about $896,000. Those prior period adjustments that you see at the bottom, those are due to some of the corrections that we had to make. There were some errors in the FY20 audit report that we had to fix. Those are just some of those corrections that we had to make for the audit report moving forward to establish the correct balances for the ending FY20 balances for the FY21 audit. Then moving on to the change in governmental funds, very similar. You know, there was a pretty significant increase in intergovernmental revenue from last year. That's largely due to you guys are on the cash basis. You received that payment for the second half of the ARPA funds for about $3.6 million. You know, that's a large sum of what that increase in intergovernmental revenue was. Again, you know, the charges for services decreased due to those prisoner income, as well as some of the implications with GASB 84. You know, you'll see that along kind of in the same category with the public safety and judiciary courts fees. Largely, that's just due to that GASB 84 implication. Overall, you had net change in fund balance of about $5.1 million. Again, some prior period adjustments for those corrections to the beginning FY21 balances. You know, overall, pretty comparable from a cash basis standpoint, you know, not regarding some of those GASB 84 implementation items. And then kind of moving on, the last few things is just kind of more informational for you guys, just kind of showing, you know, what your revenue sources are, you know, the percentages of, you know, what your revenues come from. You know, 55.5% of your revenue comes from intergovernmental revenue. So that's your state sales tax, your income tax, your grant revenues. Taxes is really just property taxes at 21.6%. Charges for services at 20%, and then interest at 0.4%, and miscellaneous at 2.4%. So that's kind of the breakdown of where your revenues are coming from. And on the flip side, you know, 33.9% of your expenses are related to public safety, 23.4% of your expenses related to general control administration, 14.6% to judiciary and court-related, 13.6% related to public works and transportation, 9.1% to health and welfare, you know, 4.7 to capital outlay, and 0.9 is related to interest. One of the last things I kind of like to share is, obviously, you know, if I go back a few slides, 21.6% of your guys' total revenue source come from property taxes. Obviously, a lot of that is driven by your tax rates and assessed valuation. So for the last four levy years, you can see your assessed valuation continues to go up. And on the flip side, you can kind of see how the real estate tax rates, how you, as a county, the tax rates have gone down. So as assessed valuation goes up, tax rates go down, you guys are able to keep, you know, your property tax revenues stable while keeping your tax rates lower. And that's, you know, that generally goes over the information that we cover for the audit report. I know there's definitely some follow-up questions. You know, feel free to reach out to us directly. We're happy to answer anything. We want to help the county. You know, we do 16 different counties in the state. We see a lot of different situations. If there's questions or concerns specifically that you have, you know, reach out to us, and we're happy to